go! Welcome to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast with your host, Steve Schaubecker. Get ready to get behind the scenes look into what it really takes to grow a business from scratch in the firearms industry. Join us as we welcome industry titans, Second Amendment enthusiasts, and special guests each week. I welcome you to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast.
Welcome back to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Steve Schaubacher, your host, and I'm back with another probably great episode this week, and maybe not so great episode, but I will let you be the judge of that. This week, we are going to take a deep dive into a concept that is hugely beneficial for your business. It is called building a tribe. First of all, let's start out and talk about what a tribe is. So really, a tribe is a group of people that are deeply connected. And typically there's three type of connections that take place in the tribe. The people in the tribe are connected to one another. They're connected to a leader. And they're also connected to an idea of some sort. A source of commonality, if you will. So why is a tribe important? Well, here's the thing. As business owners, we're trying to create an experience for our customers that will transcend just them, that they will tell people about, that they will have become a part of their life. Not just someplace they buy things, not just someplace they do business with, but something that really becomes a part of them, a part of their identity, if you will. You see, tribes are all over the place. A lot of times tribes exist, but nothing happens with them because they don't have a leader. And if you think about it, without a leader, there aren't any followers. So it's just a group of people that usually just have the common interest and maybe will be connected to each other. But you put a leader in there, and then the magic happens. Because when you have a leader, then you can have followers. Now, you're probably asking yourself right now, why is this important to your business? Well, it's important to your business because you can go anywhere and buy things. You can go anywhere and purchase items that you need. However, when you add the tribe aspect to it, it becomes becomes something so much greater. Like, for example, I'll use the firearms industry. Well, as you know, people that like firearms or that feel they need firearms can often feel connected to other people that do the same. You know, they can get behind the Second Amendment, but you know, 2A movements, NRA, some of the other big entities that have things to do with the firearms industry. And through these groups, I mean, you have lots of groups. Like you have groups of people that hunt. Those obviously a lot of times use firearms. You have groups of people that just enjoy going to the range. You have groups of men, you have groups of women, you have some co-ed groups. You have also have groups that enjoy competitive shooting. So that can be anything from like Steel Challenge to pistol competition to three gun. There's all different kinds of things, even skeet shooting, trap shooting, all kinds of different options. And these are all little tribes within a bigger tribe. Now, when you harness the power of a tribe for your business, it can help you grow in ways you can not even imagine. But here's the thing you have to remember is that, and be prepared for. As you push people towards you, you're also going to push people away. So when you're drawing people in that, hey, I agree with what you have to say. I agree with where you're at. There's going to be an equal and opposite amount of repulsion to people that don't agree with you. So for every person you have that's a raving fan, you're likely going to have one that's a raving hater. And that's okay. That's a good thing. We all don't like the same things. We all don't have the same beliefs. We all don't even have the same core values. So something that I hold dear and something that I find to be true, you may not, and that's okay. Now, when we're united in a tribe of like people, we don't have to agree on everything. We only have to agree on the thing that we're there for. So whatever that shared interest happens to be. For example, in our tribe at Sheepdog, we have people of all different political views. We have people that are far right, that are mid right, that are independent, And yes, we even have folks that lean left. But here's the thing. We all agree that we support the Second Amendment. That unites us. Firearms unite that group. And that's just one example. You can have a tribe of people who like to golf. You can have a tribe of people that love your restaurant. You can have a tribe of people that love to travel. And maybe it's even people that love to travel, say, to someplace even more specific, like fans of Mexico. Or even more detailed, and you'll see this on Facebook groups. That's probably one of the greatest places to see all of these different little tribes in action, because people are making Facebook groups and they're all kind of bonding together in these groups. You'll even have people that are just fans of a particular resort in Mexico or somewhere else. And I find that totally cool, because for people that, much as many people that love that a particular resort, there may be an equal, an opposite amount of people that dislike it. We all don't have the same taste in food. We all don't have the same taste in vacations. Something that I find enjoyable, you might not. In order for these tribes to be effective and for them to benefit each other, there has to be a leader, and they have to have something to be centered around. So my ask of you as a business owner is, why not be the leader? Why not develop your own tribe where people can support each other and they can support you as a business owner, and you can take and pull everybody in that you connect with and push others away that don't connect with you and what you're offering. So it's really interesting what happens though when you create this tribe. So when this tribe happens, you not only connect customers, but you also have a tighter connection with your team, your employees, your management. So why is that important? Well, when we're all on the same path, when we've all embraced the same mission, when we've all on board, going, moving together, there's nothing like it, and we can certainly all get farther. We can all get much farther. So by embracing the power of having a tribe, it's basically like your whole advertising group for you. So for example, you know, they always say that, hey, if you have a happy customer, if you're lucky, they may tell one customer, but if you have an upset customer, they're going to tell 10 people. Well, it's kind of opposite of that when you have a tribe too. A tribe are going to be your raving fans. And they always said to change the world and to grow a business, you know, you don't need to have millions and millions of really tight followers. If you have 100 or even 1,000, you can have so much impact, more than you could ever imagine. Now, one thing to remember too, when these tribes are forming and just starting out, there's a great, great example when this is laid out by a guy by the name of Bruce Tuckman. He was an educational psychologist and did a lot of studies on tribes and groups and those sorts of things. And when he looked at it, he really broke it down into four different steps of what happens with a group and how it becomes, and when the stages of growth, if you will. So the first thing is forming. So this is when people, when they first come together, or it could be if they get brought together to create this new group. Now, this could be that you make a Facebook group. It could be that you start having, you know, Thursday night gatherings for customers, or whatever it is. However you start to facilitate that group. In the beginning, there's very little cohesion, and they really look to a leader for what's going on, to get some really good guidance from them and to lay out the path of what's ahead. So after that happens, they hit the stage called storming. So when people start feeling comfortable, they start feeling comfortable enough that there's some conflicts. Different personalities don't mesh. Sometimes there's some different ideas that may or may not have anything to do with what the purpose of the group is. May have people that are in the group and say, hey, it's a firearms group, and they may agree on, they all like firearms, but they may say, oh, you know what? Hey, I like Glock. No, SIG's the best. No, Glock's the best. No, SIG's the best. No, Beretta's the best. No, Springfield's the best. You know, you get people arguing about things like that. Well, they all agree on the things that firearms are great, and they love the Second Amendment. However, they don't agree on which gun is the best. when you're in storming, this times people typically get frustrated and they feel like maybe the group isn't actually for them, or that maybe the group doesn't even have a common objective. During storming, the leader must continue to provide great guidance and really get everybody moved together and pulled together and ready to head in the direction that you're trying to get them to go. Now, after storming, the next thing that comes next is what he calls norming. So the intergroup conflicts are mostly resolved. People start to respect one another more. They definitely respect the group leader, how the leader has pulled everybody back together. At this point, the leader can step back just a little bit and kind of see where things are going to go. And there are times when the group may roll back. If new people are added, there can be some storming again as people start to push boundaries and push back and let their opinions fly. But soon after they get out of the storming, they get into what the last phase he calls is performing. At this point, the group is self-sufficient. They're integrated together. They're a tight unit. And people understand what other people's strengths and weaknesses are. And they all understand, most importantly, the goal that they're working toward. At this point, the leader doesn't need to be as tightly involved, but can cast the overall vision from where things are going to go and where they want to be, and to continue to take things to the next level. Now, once you have a cohesive group and you're moving where you want to move, that's no time to give up and stop. In our case, we want to continue to grow the group. We want to continue to get new people injected into the group. And those can be, like for us, it's new customers that come in. We try to connect old customers with new customers, especially ones that we feel will mesh well and that will have some common interests. Like, for example, if we know that there's a group of our folks that come in that are big into hunting a particular game or animal, if there's folks that we know love to trap shoot, if there's folks that we love that are getting into long range, if there are folks that just want to train a particular way or for self-defense, again, we can try to connect all these people. And what it does is it also frees up some of our time. So it frees up our time that we're not having to have the same conversations a lot of times with the same customers. They'll start to talk among themselves and they'll start to pass on a lot of the information that you have provided over time. So, all right, so you have this group, you have this tribe, you have them moving, you have them connected. So what's next? You continue to nurture that tribe. You continue to nurture that tribe, and you have that tribe then become an extension of you, an extension of your marketing plan, an extension of your company, your business. The best way you can use this tribe is to spread your word. Is to spread the word of what you are doing, what the great things are, and why your business is different. People, while as much as internet marketing is great these days, running ads is great and everything, there is still nothing better than word of mouth. There's absolutely nothing better than a personal recommendation. So remember that each one of these people that are in your tribe may also belong to other tribes. Like, for example, someone is in a firearms group. They love to shoot. They happen to love to target shoot. They get in some competitions. And then they're at their car club meetings. They also happen to be in a car club. Well, what's the thing they're going to talk about at their car club meetings when they talk about what they've been up to lately? They're going to talk about their other tribe they're in. They're going to talk about all the great things that are happening, all the things they're doing. And then within that car club, there's bound to be some people that are also into firearms. And the ones that are into firearms then will also get pulled towards the firearm tribe, if you will. So as things spread like that, so now you have reach from your tribe into a car club. You know, you may have reach from your club into, say, people that work with animal rescue or something like that. Okay, now everybody at the animal rescue hears about you and what you do. So by using that tribe to just be your best advocates, it can make your business just blow up. Now, here's the things to be important, though. So it has to be a two-way street. It can't just be the tribe does for you, you also have to do for the tribe. You have to continue to provide them resources, continue to be a resource for them, continue to help them grow, help them, you know, resolve conflict, continue to invite people in the same way you did as you started. Because as a leader, if you stop injecting yourself 100% into that group, into that tribe, no telling what will happen. Sure, a tribe will function and will move somewhat on its own when it gets to the point where it's self-sufficient and, you know, it's really when it hits that performing stage. However, that doesn't mean you can totally let your foot off the gas and totally just give up. You know, you'll see it on Facebook groups. You'll see some Facebook groups that'll like grow to a couple thousand people more. And then you'll see they just dry up and die and everybody just leaves. Well, that's because at some point the leader just gave up. The leader gave up on continuing the path that they're working on, went off to do something else and didn't follow through. Now, that tribe is typically going to stick with you, you know, forever, as long as they're still interested in that activity, as long as they still feel like you're leading them, and as long as they still feel connected to the group and the idea, then they're going to be right there and they're going to be your advocate. So you definitely need to make sure that you're leading your tribe effectively, you know, and also definitely be conscious of the different steps that a tribe goes through when it forms, and keep in your mind also that it can go backwards at times. And that's all okay. As long as your members all believe in the shared belief, the one that you're basing your tribe around, things will fix itself. They will work out differences if they have it with other people, or sometimes some people will just leave, and that's okay too. Sometimes people will come for a time, sometimes they will come for the long term. You never really know, and honestly, it really doesn't make a difference. But regardless of what your business is, regardless of what it is you actually do, you definitely should look at your customers as a tribe and look at them as a family. Customers are not just people that buy things from you. It needs to go deeper. Because here's the thing. When it goes deeper and you have a tribe, other things stop mattering. For example, price. If someone has something a little bit cheaper on the internet and they're in your tribe, they are going to much rather buy from you and not order something off the internet if they have a deep connection with you. Buying product is only one part of it. You know, supporting how they live their life, and also being able to support them as they grow as individuals, whether it would be in areas that are covered by your tribe or whether it be areas that are just not, you know, things that you really don't have anything to do with. You know, like, for example, our stores are all focused on, you know, firearms. We have a lot of accessories and other things like that and some tools and whatnot. But if someone comes in and is also going to bow hunt, I'll refer them to somebody. There's nothing I can help them with there. We don't sell bows. We don't sell any of those archery supplies. That's just not our stick. That's not what we're good at. That's not what we know inside and out. So we're going to stay in our lane, and that's okay, because that doesn't mean necessarily that they're leaving our tribe. It just means that, hey, they have another interest too. So glad you all could join me again this week. Hopefully I provided some value there on what a tribe is and how to use it and how it can make a huge difference in your business. If you have any questions on this, feel free. Hit me up.
Thank you for listening to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. If you're still listening to this episode, that means you gained some type of value. So if you could share this to a friend, leave a review, and make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast.